the thing that jumps off the page for me is this figure of 12,000 patients dying each year because of poor infection control. Can you explain that to us?
Well, we've known that as long as there have been hospitals over many hundreds of years, that there have been infections occurring in hospitals. I mean, hospitals, you know, 100 years ago were pretty dreadful places where you only went if you had no other place to go. Hospitals now are very different, and they're much safer than they used to be. But as you said in the introduction, I agree, they're not safe enough. We've known that with the intensity of the type of care that we provide with, you know, chemotherapy for cancers, which are increasingly aggressive, with surgical interventions for looking after small neonates and so forth, that the risk of infection is getting higher, not lower, with the types of advanced care we're offering. And when you tally the toll of infections, I was surprised when we did the, you know, that basic amount of mathematics that the toll was that high. However, a similar undertaking in the U.S. shows that their results are similar to ours, only 10 times bigger proportion because they're a bigger country.
Sure. When we're talking about infection, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, virulent superbugs within the hospitals, or is this a wide range of things?
Well, you can measure infections by the type of bacteria, viruses, or you can talk about the types of body parts that get infected. We like to divide them up in terms of what body parts get infected. Some of the more important ones are getting a pneumonia when you're in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a high mortality. Likewise, getting an infection of the surgical wound after you've had surgery, and if that wound that the surgeon operated in gets all infected, it could ruin the whole surgical procedure, and the results can be terrible. Other things are bloodstream infections, when bacteria actually make their way into your bloodstream and circulate through your body, making you very sick, and that's got a high mortality. And certain forms of infection like diarrhea and skin infections and even occasional meningitis and things show up in hospital.
Why is this only really hitting the radar now?
Well, it's been on our radar in the infection control world for a long time because it's what we do. However, there's no question that the recent outbreak of SARS in Toronto really has highlighted the risks in the system. But we undertook this study even before we even knew that SARS existed, because we all knew in the infection control world that this needed to be higher up in the radar, this needed to have visibility, and we needed to be looking at it squarely to combat the issue.
Well, as we look at for solutions and combating the issue, as you say, why do you think hospitals are falling short in infection control?
Well, hospitals have to make very difficult choices. The hospital boards have to deal with, you know, some very difficult decisions. I think the infection control world needs to take some ownership of not bringing up the visibility on this to some extent, and I'll, you know, I think we'll all have to accept some of the blame on that. We need to be very aggressive, you know, in our hospitals to say this is important. I think hospital managers need to know that when they're looking at their budgets and the allocations for things, that they have to recognize that they have to put adequate prevention control and control in first before we start moving into advanced care programs. Otherwise, the costs at the other end are actually larger than the cost of the prevention. You know, for every dollar you invest in prevention of infections, you save $5 to $10 at the other end.
It's the ounce of prevention, pound of cure.
Absolutely.
Now that we've had the SARS outbreak in Toronto and various concerns, you know, in Parry Sound, there was a scare in Kingston. What's your sense of how hospitals are now going to approach infection control?
Well, I hope that hospitals will look at the SARS event, will look at the directives that have come from the Ministry of Health in Ontario anyways, and also look at the results of this study and say, how do we measure up? And what standards should we be working to? I would love to see national standards for infection control or even provincial standards, because we don't have that. We have national guidelines, but that's voluntary. But if we had standards, we'd know what we're working to. But certainly hospitals can set their own standards to say, look, we're not going to accept this kind of these infection rates anymore. We're going to work towards achieving the lowest possible rate, and we're going to invest in prevention because that's what you know, our patients expect of us, and that will reap benefits in the long run.
Now, you've done a survey nationally of all hospitals. Are hospitals collecting this data themselves?
Hospitals are quite variable in their ability to measure their infection rates, and that's one of the key findings of the study. Many hospitals do not measure their infection rates very well, and so they don't know how to aim their resources at what to prevent. It'd be like having a bank and not having a good accounting system. You know, you really need to have a good idea of what your infection rates are in your hospital, but that takes effort, time, and work, and that just needs to be invested in so that you know where to target your interventions.
So we just simply don't know really the scale of this.
a lot of hospitals don't know where their infections are, and so that's a real problem, and that's one of the key things that we're sending out to hospitals. And a subsequent study that we did that we didn't publish in this report was that when we went back to the hospitals who participated and looked at those that did surveillance, looking aggressively to find their infections, they have lower infection rates.
So the message there is?
Is doing surveillance helps you to target your interventions and to prevent infections.
Beyond a hospital-by-hospital basis, you've done it nationally. I mean, is there any body that is doing this nationally from a public health point of view?
Well, this study was sponsored by Health Canada, and they do have a Bureau of Nosocomial and Occupational Infections, and that's Hospital Infections and Occupational Infection Group, a small, terrific group of people who we work with who help sponsor this study. That group would, in my view, would stand should be enlarged and be able to carry out much more of this kind of work at a national level. I think everyone would benefit. When you look at what's done in the UK and in the United States with their hospital infections program, we could stand that kind of investment in infection prevention at a national level in Health Canada, and that would go a long way.
Dr. Zeman, I wonder what the takeaway for a patient, someone heading into an Ontario hospital, let's say, hearing this figure, hearing the concerns you have about inadequate infection control, what do you say to patients going into hospitals?
Well, I say to patients when you're coming into hospital, make sure that when anybody is approaching you, make sure they've washed their hands. But at another level, I believe that all citizens should be contacting their hospital board members or the board members for their hospital region and regional health authority and saying, what are you doing to keep the hospital safe and to prevent infections? And how are you working towards achieving the ultimate goal of not having infections in hospitals?
A lot to think about. Dr. Zeman, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning.
My pleasure.